Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa buddham dhammam sangham namassami. We are all here from many different generations of life. So the Buddha's teachings are universal, eternal for everyone, whatever age. But they are sometimes hard to fathom, maybe deep to understand. But if we look simply, we can see that it's about blessing. Everybody can understand blessing. Everyone can understand pain and suffering. And if we can know pain and suffering, we can also know when it's not there. The other thing that the Buddha's teaching points us to is sharing blessing. Not, it's my blessing, you can't have it. But it's for everyone, sharing blessing. And today I happened to read a verse written by a Persian poet named Rumi. And it immediately brought me to the Buddha's emphasis on sharing blessing. So I want to read it. He wrote, "Be the one that when you walk in, the blessing shifts to the one who needs it most. Even if you haven't been fed, be bread." So, just very sweet little verse. And what that's pointing to is whatever situation we find ourselves in, and whatever blessing we have experienced or we are enjoying that we understand and know of, if there's someone near who is in need, then let that blessing be for them. Let it shift to them. Let us give them that blessing. Let us share blessing. And the example, he says, even if you haven't been fed, be bread. In other words, give them to eat from your plate. Let your presence be like bread is to a hungry person. Let the blessing that we know, the joy that we know, be available. Let it shift so that we can somehow uplift, nurture, hold up, have compassion for that being that's near us so that we can take away their suffering. I think this beautiful way of putting it is be bread. Can we be like bread for others? Let them eat from the cup of love, the sea of love within us, which we all share, but not everyone is able to connect to it. Not everyone is able to touch and drink from or eat from that plate, that cup of love, that basket of love that we all are born with. That's what we're made of. That's the very essence of our being, is that quality of love. But we get estranged from it very quickly. And the kind of blessing that we're talking about is one that cannot be destroyed. It's not, you can't crush it. You can't obliterate it. You can share it. Even if the body becomes old and sick and dies, we start to realize this is not who we are, this impermanent vehicle. It's like a car. the cars also get sick and die. They get old and worn out. So our vehicle, this is our vehicle in this life. And the world generally calls this you, me. This is who we are. The Buddha does not teach that. But it's very easy for us to get trapped into believing that when we're in it. It's very easy to keep on mistaking this vehicle for this is me. And of course, this is when the conundrum starts. When you think that the love, that loving quality, somehow is out there, so then godness becomes an idea. And we don't realize that our ability to love, to know love, to be bread, is here. It's not there in the world. It's right here. This very consciousness is already that. But we are taught from an early age to look for this purity, this almightiness in the world somewhere, invisible, like the devas in the garden. Must be out there. Actually, it's within us. And we discover that through quieting the mind and going into the stillness of the moment. So we have to reteach ourselves that lovingness. We have to relearn it. We may have known it when we were tiny things with nothing written. There were no words yet. There was no formation of thoughts. It was just looking, touching, feeling, seeing, just like a completely young baby does when it encounters the world. It has no concepts. It only has its senses to experience the world. And in order to experience this loving quality, it's almost as if we have to return to that state of purity that's beyond concept. You can't formulate it. You just have to be it. So in that purity of being, but the only thing is that the babe cannot yet reflect on what it experiences. It's learning to experience. And then later it learns to reflect. So this quality of reflecting on experience is what more mature human beings learn. In meditation practice, this is the gift. This is the great gift that we have, that we can experience the world and then reflect on that experience. And from that reflection, we can derive an understanding, a lovingness, from which we can then move, act, speak, listen, bow, live, know, die, into. So the Buddha offers us this beautiful verse, these verses, and it's all about the quality of that knowing. Through the goodness that arises from my practice. So through those blessed values, blessed knowing moments that we experience when we're silent, when we're just alone within the heart, in the vastness of this heart that is not caught up in concepts. Because the concepts are just like a prison. If they're not a prison, they're a fence. If they're not a fence, they're a border. It's almost like you have to give yourself a passport to cross it. And it can be a fearful thing. Can't go there. Can't cross that border. Can't head south. can't head north, can't go up or down, can't even stay here. But in meditation, the mind, which is the vehicle that can lead us into that still knowing, once we sharpen our faculties inwardly, we don't gain this knowledge from worldly sense contact, but from the interior knowing of this inner space. And when we start to know this interior space, there are no borders. It's vast as anything we can imagine. Even an airplane, even a spaceship, could not go to the frontiers where this space within the heart can take us. It really has no boundaries. So through the goodness that arises from my practice, it's that kind of generating vast love, vast empty of any thoughts, any hindrance, any clinging, any suffering at all. It's a freedom. So the freedom of the heart is already there. And the knowing of it comes through this inner quiet. Like this eye, look how tiny this optic nerve is. And yet when you look in the sky, can you see the whole sky? How big is it? I can't measure it. But I can see it with this tiny little instrument of an eye. So in the same way, the instrument of the knowing ability, the skill of knowing truth, we can't measure it. But somehow when we still the mind's movements and we're quiet and we listen and see inwardly, that seeing is also able to see a vast, immeasurable space. And through the goodness of that, may my spiritual teachers and guides of great virtue, my mother, my father, and my relatives, the sun and the moon, and all virtuous leaders, may they receive the blessing of my life, of this ability, this moment of being able to know the vastness of this consciousness, unable to measure it, but at least to point that it exists, it's there, qualitatively present, and it is a blessing. We share that. That's being bred. That's how we can nourish others, ourselves and each other. This nourishment can be shared with the highest, whatever we think is out there. It's impermanent because it's a concept. We don't know who, what, where. Even the evil forces, this bread of awakening is available to all beings, the good, the bad, the beautiful, the ugly, the terrifying, the blessed. Celestial beings, guardian spirits of the earth, even the Lord of Death, whatever that might mean, receives that blessing. May those who are friendly, indifferent, or hostile, may all beings receive the blessings of my life. So we chant these words a lot. And basically what we wish is that everyone can know the truth of what we are through this consciousness that is quiet, present, attentive, knowing the truth within the heart. And they will be blessed by that knowing. So when we're next to someone who is suffering, we may not be able to directly change their life circumstances. That's very hard to do. We all know someone who's suffering. If we don't know them personally, we read about them. We read about people in terrible conditions, in terrible situations, and we feel helpless to help them. But that's why we're here, in this tiny space, on this great planet. From within these walls, we make this effort to share whatever blessing we can know through the goodness of this practice to these beings that are far away. Whether those blessings reach them and in what form, we have no control over that. Because in this realm, the laws of karma are being worked out. But our intention is to share that blessing. And we may never know, but in some mysterious way, these blessings do not die. And all of us can vouch for having been blessed in some way by a friend, by a parent, even by our own practice, by some unusual circumstance that wasn't supposed to happen, and it did. Even the way this monastery was established, we look back, how did that happen? I was one day walking down the beach in New Zealand 20 years ago, and I was living there. Going to stay there, nice place, living right near the ocean, so beautiful, meditate every day, get food, good enough, and in the evening, go down to the beach and watch the sunset. And one day, I thought, this is too good, I need to share this. It just came up, I need to share this blessing. It's just for me. The people weren't really interested in practice, so the practice sessions weren't so well attended. And I thought, maybe I should leave. There's nowhere to go. I'm here. But I asked for a sign. And then it was twilight, and I looked down in the sand, and I saw a bit of turquoise color. On that beach, there's big surf and big broken power shells used to always crash and break. So I never found a whole power shell like those beautiful shells you brought today, but I found pieces of this beautiful turquoise abalone. I always collected the broken shells and put them outside my little cabin. I had a shell garden. So I saw turquoise and I thought, oh, I better pick that up. Instead of a broken big shell, it was a tiny, tiny little shell. Really tiny. But it was in one piece. It was thin. So I couldn't understand why this one little tiny shell could arrive on this shore and not be smashed into pieces. And then it came to me, this is the sign. This is me. This shell is me. I have to throw myself back into the ocean and bring the blessing somewhere else. So I went back to my cabin and I started packing. And then eventually came back to Canada and came here. How did that happen? From a shell landing on the beach to asking for a sign, wanting to share the blessings and getting that sign, and then just moving with it, going with it, being the bread. We don't realize the power of our intention when it's wholesome, when it's a blessed intention. We can move mountains with that. So there might be rocks in life, but we can move them, we can bless them, we can bless the obstacles to our awakening, little by little, and by holding to the path, to the practice, to the goodness of our life, and the purity of the mind. Never to forsake what we value the most, even at the cost of losing possessions, or losing power, or losing control. We have no control. We might think we have control, but that's just self-concept. That's the biggest obstacle to the freedom to know the true blessing. So we can know this peace of heart and be able to share that with everyone. Through the goodness that arises from my practice and through this act of sharing, it's the generosity. It's too much for me. Let's take this out across the sea. What on earth was I thinking? It was just a madness. Sometimes we have to be mad. It was just a madness to come here and think that the little old nun, now we're legal. In Sri Lanka, we just got given legal status as bhikkhunis, as fully ordained female, sangha, female order. 1 month ago, the female monks were given legal status by the Supreme Court of Sri Lanka. I never thought in my lifetime. A miracle. So may all desires and attachments quickly cease. That's the key. We have to let go the desire, the attachment. May all harmful states of mind be quickly purified. There's a price to pay. It's not free. We want to ride this vehicle to its most sublime conclusion, and we have to pay the way. But that payment is a glorious payment. It's not a payment. It's a natural sacrifice to give up that which doesn't really bring us to a state of harmlessness, to a state of awakening, true health here in the heart. And true health in the world. Through the supreme power of all these, the forces of delusion will not take hold. They will not weaken our resolve. The Buddha is my excellent refuge. The wise being who leads you in this direction, then pick that up and go this way and be a bread in that tradition. Doesn't matter. Just be able to do it and do it quickly in this life while we still have life. The Sangha is my supreme support, all my spiritual companions. Without all of you, we can't be here. The Buddha set up a fourfold Sangha of laymen, laywomen, monks, and nuns. Not three, not two, not one. Four, together. You know how balance comes? With a table, you need four points, four corners. Through the supreme power of all these, may darkness and delusion be dispelled. That's unsurpassed protection for us, unsurpassed. Better than any sword. The sword of wisdom.